turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ready? World class.
Do not scratch your eyes.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus.
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores. It's 3-0.
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Oh, we're very happy today. We're feeling very good. It's a lot of champions discussion today. We're going to talk Champions League, but of course, you know, we're going to talk Champions Cup as the Columbus Crew have done a thing that I think you and I thought was very possible.
Yeah.
But also a thing that not many MLS teams have ever done.
Right.
So we're going to relive the glory of that. We actually, as you probably have guessed, if you listen regularly, usually you've noticed we've changed Soccer Podcast Day to Wednesdays.
For this specifically.
We moved it back to Thursday because we thought, well, what the hell? We're going to talk about this game and then we'll be like, yeah, they can
do it. And you know what would happen last night is if we recorded a podcast yesterday, you would have texted me and be like, dude, I'm coming in early tomorrow. Let's just record another
one.
So instead of doing a full episode yesterday,
We decided
to be smart, and we're like, you know what? Let's just postpone it a day.
Yeah, and let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So we are, and that's good. I'm thrilled to have this discussion with you, Beamer, and we haven't really got to talk a lot about this other than I saw your post last night. I listened to your show a little bit this morning, and then you and I, though, as humans, have not discussed it.
Yeah.
But the Columbus Crew go to Monterrey. For the second time in a month, they go into the city of Monterrey, the region, that area, and ended up advancing, I should say that, because they technically tied against Tigres, but they won on penalties, but whatever. They have gone and gotten the result they needed to advance yet again, not once, but twice in Mexico. Not only did they do that, they beat Monterrey in Monterrey,
yeah,
something that no MLS team has done in a knockout round game. I think they said the Sounders in like 2011 did it
in a group stage game.
Group stage game.
Totally different competition.
Different format, different tournament, everything. Yeah. This is now a situation where no team in Major League Soccer can really lay claim to doing what the Crew are doing right now. And I'll just start off by saying this. They're doing it the way that they always do it.
Yeah.
Like that's the number one thing for us soccer nerds. We can get all the other stuff out of the way. I know you've heard a lot of that stuff about, you know, what is this compared to in North American sports?
I don't even have a good comparison. It's just its own unique like thing.
No, there's not. I was actually
someone messaged me on Twitter. Is like, what about like can you give me a March Madness style breakdown? Is it like a mid major making a Final Four? And I'm like, no, because the Crew aren't a mid major. Like,
no, you know, I've thought of this a lot on the way in, and it again, no comparison is going to be perfect, right? The only thing I think that maybe comes close for college sports fans, because I think it's a lot more like college,
yeah,
where you play in these little groupings, you play in these conferences, and you don't see a lot of the other group until you get to these big tournaments. But I think it's like in college football, where for years Ohio State was the Big Ten school. It's like, yeah, but they can't beat SEC teams. You know, that nobody can beat the SEC. The SEC is just the best at this. And so then when Ohio State did in 2015, they just like smoked Alabama. Like they won. It was a thorough beating.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like this one is a little bit, especially because that one was the game before the actual championship game.
Right.
Where this feels so big because in part you've already gone and now done something that people thought, well, they're not going to do that. Most people thought Ohio State wasn't going to get past Bama in that game, except for Buckeye fans. But this is not like a MAC team beating Alabama to that. Like, I've seen people say that. It's like, oh, man, this is like a 16 upset in one. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That to me is
the best team on the continent right now.
This is the thing. I know I'm not telling anything new to the soccer fans who are listening, but you have to appreciate what we're looking at right now. Yeah. We've been saying it on this podcast.
And we did that episode like a month ago.
We're in the glory days, folks.
Yeah,
this is the glory days. This is what we're talking about. Like, savor this. It does not happen.
Ever.
No, it doesn't happen.
It's like, never happened before.
It's never
not
happened.
Not for us.
In all my years, I said this on Twitter, in all my years of watching Major League Soccer, I have not seen a team ever do what the Columbus Crew of this era are doing. And I don't mean that as like the 2008 team was trash or anything. They were great. 2020 team was great. But they were winning their domestic championship. They were a very good team, all that stuff. But there was just a lot of, it seemed like they were playing the system that most teams in MLS played. They were just a little bit better at it. They had some better players, some great moments, things like that. What you're seeing with this team is everyone in the world who watches soccer from a technical standpoint mm-hmm. says, gosh, that's beautiful. Too bad that doesn't work.
Everybody
agrees who loves tactical soccer. This is a beautiful style of play. It's a shame these poor poets are about to get their head stomped in by a cynical bastard.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is going up to the cynical bastards and being like, hello, let me read you some poetry.
Let me knife you in the rib cage.
Knife them in the rib cage as they do it. Like soccer is all about style.
Yeah.
Soccer is all about not just winning, but how you do it.
And we've become so pragmatic now. And I think there's a greater discussion to be had. And maybe we can do that like in our next segment when we talk like a little bit of Europe.
Absolutely.
But there's a greater discussion to be had that like Pep Guardiola, for everything that they've won, has ruined soccer.
Yes.
Like you go back and you look at the highlights from like the late 90s, early mid 2000s, early 2010s. Like, soccer has now become, at least worldwide, and I don't know how you feel about it, everyone is so in their systems. Nobody plays outside of their systems. There's no flair. There's no, like, ball skill anymore. It's just it's speed merchants, and it's people playing, like, out of the back and defending out of their minds. Like, that's what it is, and that works, like, on a game-to-game basis. But the way that the Crew are playing, at least to me, is way more similar than a team that's like setting a league on fire somewhere else in like the mid 2000s than it is currently comprised anywhere in the world right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean,
it's free. It's open. They don't care if they're going to lose. They're going to play their game. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Dude, that's exactly right. It's what we talked about with MLS Cup, where we said, all right, here's the big test. Can the way that Wilfried Nancy's teams are encouraged to play, which is there's so many people who brought this up and make it sound like Nancy encourages them to take chances. And I heard they had this on the broadcast last night.
I heard the same thing.
He said, it's not about taking risk necessarily. It's about playing the game that is demanded of by the game. Like, you have to take what's there. And if that other team is sitting back and daring you to just keep the ball, good. We're going to keep it, and we're going to take it all the way back to our goalkeeper, and we're going to kick it in front of our net. We're going to make it so enticing for you. We're going to make it so alluring to you,
yeah,
to get you out of what you want to do.
Come on. You know you want to press us.
It is, man, I what I'm thinking of, like, when I go to like a vacation spot, and there will be a timeshare person. Sometimes you might see those information booths, yeah, and you know what they are. They're just, yeah, there to sell you a timeshare. If you are, like, on your game, they can't do anything to you, right? Because if you go in there saying, I don't care about a timeshare, I just need to know where the, you know, store is that I'm looking for,
right,
they can be like, oh, okay, that's great. Yeah, it's over here. Can you have a second, though?
Nope.
They're relying on you going, all right, I guess I'll change what I do. I guess I don't. All right. They're hoping you will adjust to them because, well, no one just blows past them and is that rude. I'm that rude. Yeah. I would just say, look, I don't want a timeshare. I have no interest in that. If you can't help me, that's fine. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
My wife gets mortified by this. She's like,
well, it's because you're Midwest nice.
That's what she is. I'm saying, no, I don't care. I'm not going to talk.
East Coast elite.
I'm literally saying, tell me the information. You have information on this booth. I don't care if it's polite or not. I have a desire to do this, and that's it. Now, it's not very beautiful. It's actually very cynical.
Yeah.
But I don't adjust. I don't like, even if the person's like, oh, I just need to sell one timeshare so little Timmy can have. Sorry. That's not.
Sorry.
I'm not, sorry.
Little Timmy's not my
problem.
Don't
give me a sob story. I'm not changing. I'm not, like, I'm saying I'm going to aggressively not change. That is what the Crew do in a way. Obviously, yeah, they do a much more beautiful and non-cynical version of what I'm saying. But they don't change. And if they don't change that approach everyone says, oh, well, bigger games, somebody's going to just sit back and go, all right, kick the ball
around.
And
they might.
They might. Guess what? No one's done it on this continent.
Right, yes.
LAFC didn't do it. Cincinnati didn't do it. Monterey didn't do it. Tigres didn't do it. No one stepped up and said, go ahead. I dare you. Kick the ball around for 50 minutes.
We don't care.
We don't care. We'll just stand back here at midfield and wait for you to cross midfield, and then we'll start doing what we do. But in the meantime, we'll stare you down to 0-0 and penalties if we have to. We're not going to do a damn thing. The crew say, we're going to stand on the ball.
And then we'll, and I honestly, I do believe if that were to be the situation, that Wilfried Nancy said, good.
Good. He would. He'd say, great.
Yeah.
Well, watch what we're going to do. And they would just be doing
little. We expected this to go to penalties anyways.
Patrick Schulte would just be like doing little, like, see how many times keepy uppy he could do. You know, he would just, he wouldn't care. They don't change. They like, and I mean that in the best way, not like they don't make adjustments.
Right.
They do make tactical adjustments. Obviously, you can't be this good.
And the game
and
calls for you to make tactical adjustments given the score.
Well,
time left.
Yeah. But even with the way that is, also, it kind of puts it on the players to say, guys, I'm not going to come through suddenly and put two of you in the back and we're going to suddenly change.
No.
You know what we do. You know how we play. You know what I expect of you. Aiden Morris, go make a play to change this game. That's what happens when you let the great players just go and do. Aiden Morris said, this doofus with the ball, with where he should be booting it 100 yards upfield to get the whistle for halftime, instead he's going to roll it 20 yards in front of his own box. I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to go get it and get a goal.
Before we get into the game.
Yes, of course.
How were you feeling going into last night? Because I know we had talked about this before.
Yeah.
And, like, we've done the show, and you felt good. You were up 2-1 after the home leg last week, which, like, you were okay with, right? Like, and you felt confident. But
yeah.
I was talking, so, you know, it was last night. We put William to bed. Meredith got this little, like, water table thing, which, like, yeah, you play with water outside. And so I'm getting ready to assemble that outside. And I see Eric taking his, like, lawn bags out. Neighbor Eric.
Yes, yes.
And I just look at Eric. I'm like, you ready? And the look on his, the look on Eric's face was just, like, a ghastly, ghoulish, pasty white.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've seen this so many times before that I am terrified. I'm petrified. And I think I walked neighbor Eric back off the ledge a little bit. And again, to be quite transparent, like, if you've been listening to the show, I don't have the scar tissue damage that you have. I don't have the scar tissue damage that neighbor Eric has. I understand it. Teams go down there and they get smoked. And I looked at Eric and I said, Eric, if they were going to embarrass themselves, they would have done it in the first 20 minutes against Tigres.
Right.
Like, because there were so many opportunities for them to do that.
Especially after they kicked one into their own net, basically, with Schulte in that Tigres game.
That's what I mean.
Like, it's like, that's where okay, they got, that's the CONCACAF effect. You're in Mexico, they screwed up, and now that team's just going
to That was the opportunity
them.
To go. I'm like, you already haven't embarrassed yourself because, one, you already did this. If there's no shame in going down there and losing to Monterrey in their stadium.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're not going to embarrass themselves. They're in the semifinal. They already beat Tigres. Like, it's already been a nice little cup run that they've been on. Like, that's not going to happen. He's like, you know what? You're right. I feel okay. And I'm like, I'm not telling you they're going to win, but I still feel like, you know, that things might generally work out okay. So knowing that Eric was feeling like that, what were your emotions heading into the game, the 10:15 kickoff local time?
So I did my best to just distract myself the entire way.
That's why I put together a water table at 8:00 last night.
Exactly. So I tweeted this out, like, right before the game. I said, I did a little game thread for myself on Twitter just so I could kind of have some thoughts down in case, because I forget half the time what I'm feeling in the moment. But here's what I wrote. I put, nerves are absolute garbage. I'm expecting a random nonsense goal.
Yep.
A blistering 10 to 20 minutes where the crew are hanging on for dear life, and a CONCACAF decision that makes no sense. And then I said, all we need is a win or a tie. So I was trying to, like, balance that with, I know it's going to be stupid. I know there's going to be something happen where I go, oh my gosh, that was so dumb of us. Why did that happen? I know there's going to be a referee's decision that I'm going to completely disagree with.
Couple in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. And then I said to myself, all that being said, they need to tie. And they advance. A win or a tie is all they need. Yeah. So let's not make this too complicated, even with all that. So I kept trying to balance it because, yes, the nerves were there, the frayed edges, the times we've seen teams that we thought were really good. And I'm not even just talking about in MLS or in Columbus. I'm talking about MLS teams that you said, well, that team might go down there and do something now. They're pretty tough. And then they just get destroyed. I mean, my God, Inter Miami just went down there and got annihilated with Messi on the field. And it was
on
like,
the very bad field that they play on.
God, that's atrocious, man. I don't. How is it that bad?
I don't know.
It should not be allowed to be that bad. I literally, how many times you see the ball played on the ground and then it just goes like a weird random direction because it hit a speed bump
at the end of the game. Looked like they were playing on like mole holes.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I've never seen anything like that. I saw it when they played the last when I was watching the Inter Miami game, when I was watching them play Cincinnati. Like it's the same kind of crap. Like that field has been awful. So I don't know why that was, but again, there's another example of what you have to overcome sometimes.
Yeah,
when you go into Mexico, there's weird things, whether it's altitude at some places, which is
Pachuca
you're going to have to deal with, or we're dealing with, in this case, a bad field and a giant stadium and all these places you haven't played. At least a lot of these guys haven't. Some of them had played there, obviously, in 2020 or 2021. But, yeah, so my nerves were on edge, but I also kept reminding myself they did a lot of the work with the 2-1.
Yeah.
Getting two, winning that game at home, even though you gave up an away goal, it means so much. If you just get a goal, it changes the whole complexion. So I was really happy with that. And that's where I started off the game.
And then the first 10 minutes,
we got almost everything I was talking about.
Absolutely, you did. I was texting buddies, my buddies who are not very big soccer fans, or they're not very adept to like what's going on at this part of the competition. I'm like texting them like, hey, what's going on? What's the strategy for tonight? And I said, well, one thing I can guarantee you is that Monterrey will come out with their hair on fire. I'm like, they're going to try to press. They're going to try to get the early goal.
Yep.
We've seen this so much. If a team is trailing, going into a second leg at home, it's just the way that it works out 95% of the time.
You want to ride that momentum, and it works a lot of times for these teams in Mexico because they have such an advantage as far as, at times, the talent level that they have.
Yeah, sure. Especially offensively.
Offensively, absolutely. And the amount of money that they're spending for some of these bigger clubs is different than what MLS teams are spending.
Yeah.
Then you sometimes have often a coaching advantage too. And then you have 30,000 to 40,000 people or more, as opposed to MLS stadiums where you might have 20 to 30,000. You know, it's just.
That's 50 some thousand in there last night.
50 some thousand there. And I know like Club America, it's 100,000 plus, they get in there. I mean, it just depends on where you're playing, right? Yeah. But. Yeah, you can have an immense home field advantage in Mexico. So, of course, it makes every sense to do exactly what you said.
And they come out, and I thought the crew were okay. They're fine. They're, like, countering Monterrey's press. Kucher has a nice opportunity at the beginning. Like, they're attacking. I'm like, it's perfect. This is Wolf ball that we're playing. Like, doesn't matter. You guys are going to try to score a goal. We're going to try to score a goal. Ball over the top. Schulte gets a little too aggressive. Boop, chips, hit Shaberko. I'm like, he was going to get on it anyways. Like,
sure.
If Shaberko didn't put it in, I'm pretty sure the Monterrey attacker
was right there.
It was an own goal. I don't put that on Shaberko at all.
No, it was it was a bit of a misplay by Schulte caused by a great buildup and pass from Monterrey.
So you knew after that. I'm like, okay, well, this game is just going to, like, slow down. I'm like, immediately downshifts in pace.
Yeah, and that was so funny because they were talking about that on the game. Like, it's really slowed down here. Are you surprised the crew aren't pressing? And it's like,
Sue Holden's like, no.
That's what they, I mean, it's not what they crew necessarily. They don't care. They'll play however you want to play, I guess, in that
regard.
You
want us to have the ball, we'll have the ball.
Yeah, but the idea of, like, why are the crew taking their time? It's like, because there's 60 minutes of this left, 70 minutes of this left. Yeah. They know that it's
not
worth.
They have to get a goal.
Yeah. And if they got the goal, we knew, that means Monterrey then has to get two.
Correct.
For every one, basically, after that. So it's that's a huge advantage to have. And again, it comes from that getting your two on at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you force Monterrey to have to do that. I was afraid of Monterrey getting like three goals.
In the first 20 minutes of the game.
I was afraid of like Monterrey getting a CONCACAF-aided bad call penalty that you just, it's a penalty, you can't stop it. If Schulte's at his best, even, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
And then get the random run of play, stupid crap, everything just fell apart goal, which is bound to happen, and it did.
Yep.
And then I was worried about there being just some other, like, oh, and we got a red card, too. Like, that's where I'm like, okay. And so when Darlington picked up the yellow,
Here we go.
We're getting a handball when your arm is literally tucked as it can be.
And a yellow card for it.
And a yellow card for it. Like, he did it on purpose. Meanwhile, then a few minutes later, you have the Monterey player who's literally got his, like, he's clotheslining the soccer ball with his hand, and they're like, no,
nothing.
We didn't even look at it. Well, of course you can't because it was out of the box.
Right.
But no yellow, no anything. No handball wasn't even called. No free kick.
So the game shifts down, and the Crew leave themselves open because they did press a little bit. Like, they, you know, were on possession. And the whole first half, I'm like, boy, their touches are really bad. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Diego Rossi had some bad touches. Cucho had some bad touches. Aiden Morris had some really bad touches, bad passes. Like,
I think every Crew player had a unforced giveaway.
Yes.
Where it's like, what are we doing? Just
and now
Monterey just bad passes. Yep.
Like, downfield.
Yep.
Off the field we go.
Yep.
So the game, like, bogs down a little bit. And then I feel like around, like, the 30th, 35th minute, 40th minute, you started to settle in. And it's like, okay, this is kind of what it's going to be for the rest of the game. I could see Monterey, like, going into the second half, like, if it was 1-0, being like, okay, first 10 minutes, we're going to try to get another one. Again, or we're going to sit back for the last 35 minutes and, you know, do what we've been doing this half and just trying to eliminate them from scoring a goal. And it should have worked out. And then you get to 48-30 on the clock. Dude, what is the keeper doing? But you have 30 seconds left to go in the half.
Well, everybody knew what he should have done.
And I understand.
You kick it as far as you possibly can.
You kick it as far as you can.
In the air, the ref blows his whistle.
Or the Crew have a lot of players up at the moment. If you're going to do the outlet, do it quick. Like, get the ball, boom, outlet. Okay, then maybe you're the team to go up two goals before half. You want to get a counterattack? Okay, get the ball, save, boom, out. He waited 3-4 seconds. The crowd was, like, urging him to do something, fell into the trap. Aiden Morris sees exactly what's going on,
man.
Runs from 20 yards away before he's even, like, winding up, picks this ball right off the Monterey player's foot, goes in, two defenders on him, far posts him. It was like the scene in Batman where Bane has Batman over his head.
Yes.
They're fighting, and Batman just gets his back broken.
Yeah.
Because I feel like at that moment,
yep,
to go from, like, okay, you're pressing for a goal, nothing has really worked. You didn't have really any great opportunities when Monterey kind of decided they were going to shell back. You get that goal out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And
right before halftime. And then I'm like, boy, that could rattle some cages in the stadium, in that locker room, on the field. Because by far and away, Monterey outplayed the Crew, I thought, for the 45 minutes, other than that sequence.
Yeah. I will tell you exactly what was happening in our house at that moment. So my daughter, Ava, wanted to stay up to watch the game, and I knew she wouldn't. She's 10, falls asleep very early. So she's down sleeping on the couch because she fell instantly asleep. And so I'm trying to, like, not wake her up because, as important as this game is to me and to her and all that, it's like she's got school tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole game, I'm getting frustrated with, like, Stu Holden's just sitting there like, oh, man, this looks bad for the Crew. They never had this happen. Wow. And it's like, they haven't, Stu. The playoff game you called last year where they were down 2-0 to Cincinnati on the road, did they ever? Oh, that's right. They won 3-2.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They went down against Tigres with their own goalkeeper making a dumb mistake. And guess what? They found a way to get that one done. Let's just maybe give them slightly more credit than they're not a JV team playing the varsity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm getting mad about that. I'm getting mad about, you know, all the Monterey players. So when Aiden steps in, gets that ball, and then that shot, to your point.
Great shot.
Two defenders that are basically like ankle to ankle.
On
and he got it through their legs and past the keeper, far post. When he
side netting far post.
I thought he was going to chip him. And I'm like, when he didn't hit it immediately, I'm like, oh, no, he blew it. And then I saw he did not.
I saw Cucho before the ball went in. Cucho puts his arms up. I made an audible like, ah!
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, William's sleeping in the other room. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So I'll tell you right now, what I was doing was I've learned to whisper yell, but I'm like cursing out just the universe. I'm just like, yeah, take that. Yo, that. I'm just doing that. That's all I'm doing. All I'm doing the whole is like I'm whisper cussing the whole way. And so I'm just like losing my mind with that goal. Because then it like instantly as they're running over to the sideline, I'm like, and I think the announcers kind of do it at the same time. It's like the Crew have the lead. It's 4-2. The Monterey oh, like it's what oh, wait happened? A second. They're now it's or it was 3-2 at that point, not 4-2. 3-2. So it's like they now need two goals in the second half. Monterey does instead of they're gonna try to protect their lead and the Crew are gonna have to try to break down Monterey. It changed everything.
It did.
Absolutely changed the entire thing. And you're right. Couldn't have happened at a worse time for Monterey.
Absolutely not.
Because they're
you
like
had the half in hand. You had
all
you had
we
the game
have to do
hand.
Is basically kill off the last 10 seconds of the half, and then we go to halftime. We readjust. Maybe I put in some like some guys who have no like on the ball talent, but man, they know how to just bruise you and beat you up
totally.
And stay in shooting lanes and make it all a mess in the box for the next 45 minutes. Now you have to go bring it. You can't do that because you have to have your offensive guys who can actually do things because now you need two.
Yeah.
Changed everything. And of course, we're all laughing. And I literally could not stop laughing. Like I was just laughing my head off. Like again, saying the F word, whispering it, and then just laughing is all I was doing. And it was glorious. Felt so good. Then we get into the second half and I'm like, you know, it would really be nice here is if they got a goal right out of the box.
And they did. It was almost like, I mean, you stepped into the Lions, like the Lions Den.
Yeah.
Like into the snake pit, into the Lions Den, whatever it wants. Like that goal going into half allowed the Crew to play the way that the Crew plays.
Yeah.
If you're down 1-0, sure, the Crew, I'm
that
sure.
That would have been the biggest,
you
one
know
of
what
the
I
biggest
mean?
Tests of all of Wilfried Nancy's time here is, all right, now you need to go out and get a goal. You cannot let it play out 0-0 the rest of this half. You got to be defensively sound, but you have to attack. They didn't have to do that anymore.
And that's it was such a big advantage because now instead of bending the knee and playing into Monterey's system, in which the Crew don't do a lot, like we're not going to get fooled by you. We like to play the way that we do.
Especially if there's a weakness for this Crew team, I do think it comes when they can't pull you out because the other team's like we talked about. Monterey would have every reason in the second half to sit back and just say, go ahead and have the ball in your half of the field. We don't care. We're not getting stretched out here. You can stand on the ball the whole time. We're advancing if you don't score.
It was when Monterey was up 1-0, and I think, I don't know around what time of the game it was, like the 25th or the 30th minute. Like the Crew would push the ball up the field a little bit, and then Monterey would back them down, and then the Crew would push the ball up the field a little bit, and they would back them down. But there was a sequence in there where it's like, Monterey's really like on the press right now, and they can smell that the Crew are a little bit shaky and nervy, and like body language was kind of down. I don't know what snapped them out of it, but that's when I was worried about them going down 2-0.
They were
playing a little shaky. They were playing a little nervy, and then something clicked in and they were finally able to kind of kick it into gear. But that was the sequence in which everybody was mistouching it. They were having bad passes.
Yeah.
They were giving the ball away. And it's like all this good momentum that you've built up to get down into the attacking third is now wasted. And you either have to recycle it to Schulte or Monterey's coming on a counter. But that goal before the end of the half just allowed them to be like, you know what? Now you got to play to our style because now we're going to dictate the game.
Exactly right. So I'm sitting there after halftime, or as halftime is happening, I'm like, boy, one more goal and this is over.
Oh, done.
One more goal.
So they need three.
Monterey needs three. And even the best offensive teams in Mexico, it's tough to get three goals and a half.
I would argue
unless you're playing like a team with a down a man or something stupid like that. Like it's just even you can then weather a bad penalty call and like another random cheap goal that probably shouldn't have happened, and you're still safe. So it they need at least one real quality chance that they would have to put together and then get help. And I just didn't think that was likely to happen. If the Crew got one more goal, I didn't think it would come. It actually came time-wise. The score, when Aiden Morris put it through, it was in the 49th minute.
Yeah.
45th plus four, right? And then when Diego Rossi scored, it was in the 49th minute.
Yeah. It's two goals in a minute.
It was really two goals in 5 minutes is how you would say it. But like,
right.
5 minutes wrapped around halftime changed the whole, like, just broke
the whole complexion of the cup tie.
And by the way, again, talk about coaching. Who does FC Cincinnati bring in at halftime to try to save their whole thing? Failed FC Cincinnati player Brandon Vasquez, which is all I'm going to call him now, even though he is a tremendous player.
You mean he's Monterey.
Good. What did I say?
You said who did FC Cincinnati bring in at halftime? Failed FC Cincinnati. I'm like, wait a minute.
Monterey brought in Brandon
Vasquez. I think Steve Sirku had a great tweet. He's like, Brandon Vasquez just can't escape the crew.
Yes. Loses to him there with FC Cincinnati. He's like, I'll go to Monterey. I'll never see these guys again.
I don't have to face these idiots again.
You get to see it exactly right up in your face.
This time, yeah, in your house again.
And then who did the crew bring in? At
Diego Rossi.
Well, they had Rossi.
I thought you meant who was the addition that they brought him in last year.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Who did they bring in off the bench at halftime? Alexander Mattan.
Who was obviously a key cog in starting up that goal run.
For
the crew.
Put Rossi in on that goal.
He played an unbelievable shift because he got subbed off at the end of the game, too.
Which is crazy. I've rarely seen a guy get subbed in at halftime. I don't think Inestroza was bad, by the way. I thought Inestroza had his moments. He did. I liked him starting there just to get everyone.
He's a pace breaker.
And he's played there.
Yeah.
He played in that league, played for Pachuca. He had 50 caps or something in that league. So he's no doubt been in those environments. It's not going to be crazy for him. But he did what he had to do. They probably knew they were going to take him out of halftime. And then Mattan came in and you saw it, instantly had an impact, which I'm so happy for Alex Mattan. He is just a
your guy.
Dude, but this is a guy who we shipped off and were, they were pretty much done with. Caleb Porter didn't even want to see him.
Yeah.
And then Wilfried Nancy comes in and is like, I think we can do something with this dude. Let's get him back. And then now he's been one of your biggest helps in last year's cup run.
Yeah.
And now in this year. He's been tremendous.
I just, at that moment in time when Rossi scored the goal, I'm like, it's barring some sort of unforeseen thing.
Well, there was no way.
I don't know if you dropped the crew in that situation. I don't honestly know, Bone, if I would feel confident in any team in the world being able to score 3 goals on them with 40 minutes left. I don't care the stadium.
No,
I don't care the environment.
I'm with you.
I don't know if there is a team in the world that can break them down for 3 goals in 40 minutes.
I'm with you. Let them try.
I don't think that team exists.
Dude, I'm with you. I've never felt this way about a crew team where I say, yeah, for a half, if you spot them a 2-goal, 3-goal lead, I actually think they could go out and beat any team in the world. Real Madrid,
yeah.
Manchester City.
Don't
I'm
care.
Not like if you give them 2 or 3. I'm not saying straight up for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm
that's a different task.
We're not being stupid here. We're legitimately saying the way they play is so tremendous. It's just so smart. It encourages guys to play free, to play the way they want to. They take ownership of it. Man, it's just so fun to watch. But yeah, this was the ultimate test, and they passed it yet again. And so you had, and let's stop on Diego Rossi for a second, because we've talked about how sometimes, I was texting with some buddies, my buddy Nick Gallo and a couple other guys were on a text chain, and he's like, it wasn't him, it was one of the other guys on the text thread who said, is Diego Rossi even here,
in his first half? Yeah.
He looked a little invisible. Weren't seeing him on the ball a lot. He wasn't really getting much of the play. It was really tough going for him. The reason this dude is here is because that pass from Mattan had about a 1.5-second window where you get an open shot.
Snapshot.
That's exactly what that's what the best players in the world, that's all they ever get. That's why they're the best players in the world. I'm not saying he's on the level with some of those guys. What I am saying is, how many years have we seen at the top of the 18 or the top of the 6 or wherever the ball comes and there's a window to fire it in, but it's got to be a pitch perfect or an inch perfect shot. And it cannot wait for you to take 17 touches to then finally get your feet right. He literally took it off the instep to his shooting foot in about a millisecond.
Yeah.
And it was not just any old shot that went over 18 rows over the, it's
slid it in
dead in where it needed to go. It actually had plenty of room. Keeper was so off his, so out of position because of the pass. He just had to make a correct and quick shot and not duff it.
Turn your brain off.
And he did.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, that's a shot that I have seen so many crew players or MLS players. Yeah, but I've seen it happen where it's we don't have the quality to finish those chances. So, a guy like Mattan makes a great pass or makes 3 or 4 of them in a game, and they're all wasted by someone just not able to finish that.
Yeah.
Now you have Cucho, who you know can finish that. You have Rossi, who you know can finish that. And I'll put this guy in that category now. Jason Russell Rowe is a guy that I have a ton of faith in to finish off either foot. With pace.
Gave you the winner of the header last week over at lower.com field.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest header in the world, but he figured it out. He found a way to get it in. He has a bit of that Christian Ramirez quality where it's he'll just find a way to get some goals.
Other than a penalty in the 95th minute.
Well, that's my point. And I love Christian Ramirez. I was so bummed that he didn't get that penalty to go in.
I was too.
But I was glad to see him back on the field, and it's good that he's doing his thing. What I will say is, though, I feel like Jason Russell Rowe has shown, like, again, there was a window to beat that keeper who was well out of position at the end of that game and just to put it on ice and fully just officially put the nail in the coffin and it was done.
Makes the sidestep, too. Takes it wide.
And then
gets it around the defender.
Yeah, like, yeah. Everything was so good with that. There's the technical ability that you're now seeing, and that's from your guy coming off the bench. One of your options off the bench, who is not Christian Ramirez, who is a 10-year-plus vet of MLS and Scottish Premier League and all this. Like, this dude has played.
Was the main reason why you won a cup last year.
Yeah, of course. But Jason Russell Rowe's taking his spot right now.
Yeah.
And probably, I'm not arguing with it. That's, you have guys who are homegrown. Mo Farsi doesn't even play in this game. Mo Farsi and Jason Russell Rowe came up from Crew 2. So you have development stuff going on. Aiden Morris is a homegrown. Mm-hmm. You're getting Diego Rossi, guy that you brought in who had plenty of MLS experience.
Sean Zawadzki, right?
Zawadzki, yeah, another homegrown, you're right. And then you're also bringing in guys like, you know, Cucho, Diego Rossi, those guys. And like salvaging guys like Matan. It's just, they're doing, it should be illegal to have Wilfried Nancy and Tim Bezbachenko with Haslam money.
Yeah.
Like that is the, you put all three of those together in MLS. It's potent, on this continent. No one's going to stop it.
Potent potables.
Yeah. I'm not saying they can't lose a game. Of course they can. They've dropped points at home. We talked about
it. Might go out there in Pachuca in a month's time and get your ass kicked.
They may. I understand it's possible. What I'm saying is no one can doubt the experiment has worked. No one can doubt that this is a, now you're in a one game to decide if you win the continent, which is something that by that measure, then you're successful. If you're an NCAA team that gets to the Final Four relatively often, you're a successful team.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like, you know, if you go to every year and you never win, that'd be frustrating. But they've proven this concept works. They've proven they've won MLS Cup. They've won trophies. They have a chance to win another one before we even get to basically just past Memorial Day. You have a chance to win another trophy. Not even really into the summer yet. And they could have the biggest trophy in franchise history.
Yeah.
So it's just
what it an was, incredible 6 months it's been.
I'm telling you, man. It's and again, you had the turmoil with Cucho. You had, you know, all this stuff, and it's like they, Wilfried Nancy continues to not miss a beat, find ways to do stuff. And I will shout this out real quick, and then we'll take a break. Did you see what the ABC6 people did?
I did.
I love it. If you missed this, the morning show on ABC6. On Thursday morning after this win, they had a segment where they said, you might remember Anthony Precourt wanted to move the Columbus Crew and they were unable to do so. He was unable to do so. So he went to Austin. We've got a live look at his trophy case and it was just like an empty shelf.
Yeah.
I love it. When you got the local news taking the piss, like that means you've done something. Like, I love how much now the entire community gets that joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's a joke that you can make to almost anyone. They'll be like, oh, yeah, Precourt, that guy sucked.
What an idiot.
Yeah. I actually, funny enough, not to name drop, yesterday in the studio, I walk in and former mayor of Columbus, Michael Coleman, was in our offices. He knows Angela Pace, who works at 10TV. She was showing him around the building. We were all talking with him. And he said something. I had my crew jersey on. He goes, oh, they got a big game tonight. And I said, yeah. He goes, I'll tell you what, that Precourt guy, he was just a loser. And I'm like, I know he was, right? I'm like, man, I tried. He's like, I talked to that guy. I told him, like, here's what you ought to do. Here's how you get it done. And he was like, yeah, thanks for the advice. And just kind of ignored it. He's like,
okay.
So, see how that worked out. Like, right. It's just, everyone knew that guy sucked.
And now, Austin knows that they suck now, that he sucks.
Oh, God, I can't imagine. Wouldn't you give, I would give a lot to get to have a hidden camera view of Anthony Precourt whenever he find, whether he was watching it live and like hate watching it, whether he was just asleep, maybe he's on a yacht and he's just having a blast, and then somewhere on his phone it pops up like Crew defeat Monterey and blah blah blah, and then he's just like,
he's doing you when you're excited cussing, he's doing the opposite.
Yes, he's and he's not whispering.
No. Yeah,
but he also is like ineffectively doing it. He's saying like, I picture Anthony Precourt's just like freaking Garsh, you know, like he just doesn't
flab it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do it.
Henry Bushnell wrote a great article on Yahoo. We'll tweet it out from the show page. So if you go there at Bone Beam United on Twitter, you'll be able to find this. Henry Bushnell did a really good job. This is on Yahoo. Titled, Columbus Crew, MLS's gold standard, does what Messi and Miami couldn't do in Mexico. The Columbus crew were adventurous and brave, coordinated and confident. They were calm in the eye of a CONCACAF storm. At the same steel colossus where Lionel Messi had faltered, they were underdogs at Monterey in the second leg of a gripping Champions Cup semifinal. But on Wednesday night, as most of America snoozed, the crew rose to the challenge that even Messi and Inter Miami couldn't stomach. They beat Monterey 3-1 in the night, 5-2 on aggregate. They became the first MLS team to topple Monterey, a Liga MX giant, in a two-leg knockout series. They're on to next month's CONCACAF Champions Cup final, where they meet a third straight Mexican foe, Pachuca. They've rescued MLS from what without them would have been a mammoth, humiliating flop in this continental competition. They did all this because in the 6 years since a snake-like owner tried to steal them from Columbus and a grassroots fan movement saved them, they had become Major League Soccer's model franchise. I'll leave the rest of the article to you to go and read it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
They are. I mean, they're the model franchise for sure. And there's
since the Paul Rudd meme. Who would have thought?
Look at us.
Look at us. Who would have thought? Not me.
No, man. I remember standing on the steps, and not to like always bring this up, but like I remember standing on the steps there at City Hall when the rally happened a few days after the first Save the Crew gathering.
The one where you got mega sunburnt?
Mega sunburnt, and there were like 2,000 people there, and it was like me and Morgan Hughes and then Jenny's Ice Cream and Frankie Haddock's son, because Frankie Haddock like couldn't be there because he worked for the team.
He sent his son
wearing his 08 like MLS Cup jersey that was from on the field his son's wearing that, and it's like, we know Frankie's here even though he's not. Dr. Pete was in the crowd, and I remember looking out on that crowd and thinking like, this cannot go away. Like it can't go away. It doesn't make sense. Why? Like, it just, I kept saying the whole time in my head, what is the reason? Like, tell me why you can't just figure out how to make this team work in Columbus, because clearly the support's here. Look at all these people who showed up on like 2 days' notice. If you just tapped into this passion, you'll be fine. It'll work. And then, of course, I had no idea how the next, 7 years had since it's been, how that would go. But I'm just saying, those are the things I think about on moments like last night, where it's like, yeah, see? See? This is why we're all saying.
That's what you get for
doubt. Shouldn't move this stupid team, because what are they going to do? Yeah, so I'm glad they're still here. Sorry, I'm burping, not crying, just in case you're wondering. These are all like indigestion. I'm drinking coffee because, unlike Beamer, I had no sleep last night. Yeah. I got like only like 6 hours.
Yeah,
really
good for you. I'm thrilled for you.
I saw you tweeting at like midnight, 12:30. Yeah. You're texting me, and I'm like, oh boy, I know what time his show starts, and I know what time he has to get there.
I got about three.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Well, let's.
I'm really banking on William Knapp today, and I know he's going to screw me. I know he's not going to take a
It's
good
great
nap.
That, because you can call him Big Willie, just like we can call Wilfried Nancy Big Willie.
That's right.
So in a way, you've named your son after the greatest coach in crew history.
I absolutely have. That's the reason.
There you go. We'll take a break. When we come back, a little bit more of this discussion. Also, some Champions League from Europe. I guess we'll scout the competition, possibly, for who the crew may be facing in the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup. But not there yet. We'll find out. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the show as Beam had mentioned, at Bone Beam United. This is an unprecedented kind of time for the crew. This is a pretty great moment. Just to put it a little out there, it's more about a month away, a little less, but they are going to play Pachuca in the final because of reasons I don't fully understand, but I know it has to do with like something involving stuff that happened a while ago with these two leagues. Pachuca gets to host this. We do not get to host. It is not at a neutral site.
Something about a coefficient, which again is a math term. And
sure.
When we start talking about coefficients, my eyes go cross. I'm done. I'm out of the conversation. You tell me where the game's going to be played, and I'll just accept it.
Pachuca is getting to play this game in Mexico.
Which is where? Just north of Mexico City.
Oh, yeah, Pachuca. So they are actually at an elevation that is even higher than Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8,000 feet. Now, I can tell you, I went to Denver last year and, flew in. It was 5,000 feet. Then I drove up to the Rockies, to like the actual mountains, and stayed at a place called Copper Mountain, which is a ski lodge.
Yeah, I've heard of
up
Copper
there.
Mountain.
It's on its way to Vail. It's not far from there. That area, when I pulled off, they had a sign that said elevation 9,000 feet. Okay, so 1,000 feet higher than where we're talking for the crew. When I tell you that as I'm driving out there, I started getting a headache. Walking around, I even was getting like headaches. I was feeling the effects of the altitude. And again, mm-hmm. I went from Flatlander here to 8,000 feet, 9,000 feet. They will not do that. They will obviously take their time to get acclimated. They've got all kinds of, you know, again, we were talking about elite athletes here.
Yeah.
So they're in a condition to handle this better. And I'm sure they will have all the proper hydration techniques, but it's no joke. They're going to 8,000 feet of elevation. That is just going to physically be a demand that is a built-in advantage for Pachuca because they're used to playing at that altitude and crew players are not. So that is something they'll have to, the altitude for Monterey, by the way, even though they're mountains in view, their altitude there was like 2,000 feet.
It's not
the same. So they are now going to be dealing with like the effects that U.S. national team players have had to deal with when they go to Mexico City. It's that type of thing.
Yeah.
So this is
worse.
but worse. And this is going to be a significant challenge in that regard. Also, Pachuca is a team that does have a lot of similarities to the crew in that if you go ask people who are the biggest clubs in Mexico, they're not going to name Pachuca first. Yep. They're going to name
Club America,
Monterey. Cruz Azul, Monterey, Tigres. Those are all getting named. Chivas, like those are your legendary club teams that they're going to mention. Pachuca's certainly been good, but they are a team that, like the crew, they're not necessarily the whether they should be or not, they're not,
sure.
They don't have the fan base that some of these other teams claim to have. Like the Sounders are going to claim more fans, right? Even though whether that's real or not, I don't know.
The Galaxy
are going to get talked about a lot because they've had some bigger names there, whatever. The reality is
Inter Miami, they're long
now,
illustrious
right, yeah.
history.
Yeah. We talking about Inter Milan or Inter Miami?
I said
because
they're
basically the same. Right. I get so confused every time. Either way, what is similar is that they have very good academy system. They have a ton of good youth players. They play a system that is also one that a lot of people look at and say, yes, they are very good. And if they play their system, they can beat anybody on their day. So this is not going to be any type.
They just beat Club America too, like in the semifinals.
They did,
like,
yeah. And I still contend that the best team is the one that's sitting right here in Columbus, Ohio. But it is not to me just it's not like, oh, if the crew play their game, that's it. There's still a chance for CONCACAFing. There's still a chance. All that random crap
yeah,
that we
absolutely.
Talked about can absolutely happen again. And you're at altitude. So there's just going to be that physical demand. So it's all going to come back to this team once again proving that they can do this thing that people doubt them on doing. And they seem to thrive on that. So that's what ultimately gives me the confidence is they found a way to do it all these other ways.
Right.
I believe that they can find a way to win this game too. It's a one-off. So, you know, if you play a perfect game almost, but just every chance when it comes to the final third, they just go off the bar and then Pachuca gets a crap goal out of nothing. That can be the difference.
There's no return leg.
No,
there's no home fortress for you to come back to.
No. So,
which they've changed that over the last couple of years. Cause the last two instances have been two leg finals.
Right.
This one has just gone back to a one-off.
Yeah. So there is also the issue of we don't know exactly when the date is yet. Maybe by the time this podcast is out, you'll have found out. It will be early June, one of the first days in June. It was supposed to be the final that CONCACAF wanted. If any other country had been hosting this, it would have been June 2nd. However, that is the date of the Mexican election. I guess they have one every 6 years.
Okay.
So it's longer the time than ours.
Not up to my Mexican
Me either.
Politics.
Yeah, but apparently they felt like it's not good to do a game on the day of the election for whatever reason. So that is apparently why this is getting moved around a bit. They have to work it around, you know, the schedules of the place that they're using and everything else. Pachuca Stadium, obviously. I wish we could just play at a neutral site like Monterey. That would be
yeah, that would be nice.
I'll play in Mexico again. That's Monterey is like
Tigres Stadium, Monterey Stadium, whichever one you want to do.
Well, now I have.
I prefer Tigres actually because the field was so bad at Monterey that I want no part of playing that again.
Yeah, now I have a good reason to go to Monterey too because I've always thought that looked like a cool place to go, and I've always thought that'd be a city I'd like to visit if I go back to Mexico and just visit a city. And that looks like one I would like to check out. Now I have two different stadiums to go look at for historical purpose, but also because, hey, my team came in and like won here and did stuff here. So that's cool. But yeah, it's not going to be an easy game, but it's
we have a month to wait too, which is nice because this week they're off.
Off this weekend.
And then you're right back into Hell is Real next week at home, which will obviously be very big. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on the podcast next week when we get to Hell is Real and returning home to Columbus.
Yeah.
But you got a month. Like, you have a lot of fixtures coming up here in this month. But the good news is, like, you're through to the final. You have some time. All the eggs in the basket for me. And I think I know the way that you fall on this. Like, all of your everything that you're doing right now goes into preparing yourselves for that Champions Cup final.
Yeah, that's right.
Prepare yourselves for Cincinnati. FC, that's obviously a big deal coming up next week. But after you get through that, focus is on Pachuca.
Yeah, the tough part is there are like five games between May 11th and I think May 29th for the Crew. So they get done no favors by the schedule makers other than getting this week off right after this game. You don't have to go back after all this you've done these last few weeks. But now you're still going to have, like, there's, I think, two midweek games in May. Like, yeah. I think they have two Wednesday games in MLS, which is just how the schedule works out. Got to get that Leagues Cup in. God, it's so good that everybody gets to go play Mexico teams.
Can we just opt out of that?
Dude, I'm telling you, like, they need to walk out, kick the ball into their own net three times and be like, Sorry that happened. Oopsie. And then leave. And then let everybody else fight over the meaningless Leagues Cup. I don't care about that at all. Like, I have no desire to win that compared to what they're going up for in June and then what we've got coming up October, November, trying to get back into MLS playoffs and MLS Cup.
You are on the road Saturday, May 25th in Orlando.
Yeah.
It is a midweek game. It's Caleb Porter's return to Columbus. That midweek game that Wednesday against New England, May 29th.
Right.
And then that weekend, supposedly, we expect, I don't think they're going to push it back a weekend. If anything, you and I are expecting that June 2nd final to be moved to June 1st.
Possibly. Yes, that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they do ultimately like end up moving it back a week.
Right.
I don't know what's going to go on with that.
Yeah.
But you get Orlando on the road, and then that midweek game is Caleb Porter and the Revs.
Which, honestly, play the Crew 2 team, you still probably beat them.
Yeah.
That's just how.
And then your other midweek game is the return leg of the Laurent Courtois derby. Wednesday, May 15th, you're going up to Montreal. I don't care. Play the Academy in that. Like, play Crew 2.
You know, MLS had no thought of this because they were like, well, they're going to be free. We're not going to have to worry about the Crew. We can schedule all these games for them. And now they're probably like, we probably shouldn't put like all their storyline games and their rivalry game and all this like smack in the
and
middle of
after
the time
Pachuca,
where. Because you know him, you know Don Garber, as much as he's gritting his teeth, is like, go Crew, yeah. Like, because he hates it, but he loves it. He needs this.
Of course
he does.
This
is vindication for his, we're going to be one of the top five leagues in 2026 or whatever, 2030, whatever his goal was. Well, you can't do that if you're losing your continental championship.
After Pachuca, you're on the road against Messi in Miami.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't give a flip, dude.
Let him win 5-0. Let everybody write the stories.
Care nothing about it.
However, as it stands right now, I believe the Crew, with all the drop points at home, are only 6 points out of first. You're essentially like,
You're more point total this year than you were last at this point of the season.
Right. Like that, and we know the difficulty now. So it's going to be that get your 3 points against Cincinnati, fingers crossed, which I just saw. Is it Bapenza for them? Yeah, Bapenza's their guy, I think, who just got his jaw destroyed. He's having surgery on his like a broken jaw, so he'll be out for at least 6 weeks. So one of their best players is not going to be playing in this game, which, you know, I would like to see them at full strength because that's a good matchup. It's always fun, but not going to be an easy game, regardless of the fact that it's FC Cincinnati, who we seem to have owned of late. Here's what you're going to have. Every team is going to look at this and go, that's the team that's in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
We want a piece of that.
Of course.
We want to, they're the defending champs of MLS. They are also now the possible. Well, they're in the championship game for this. Every team's going to like, hey, we're not doing everything right, but we beat the Crew. You know, that's how they're going to look at every time you play. So you're going to get everybody's best game as you already were.
It's a litmus test for them.
Yeah. So, again, I don't want to see them drop points at home. you got. I think you just got to focus on the home games. And if you roll out a B team at Orlando, fine. I don't care.
Yeah, me like, either. You did it out in Utah.
Don't go hurt yourself against Orlando. Go hog wild in that FC Cincinnati game. Home game against Montreal. I get you want your 3 points there. Sure, let's go. Oh wait, home game or on the? They're on the road. That's on the road.
Revs game is at home. Wednesday before.
All right, don't drop points in those two games.
Play your starters for 60 minutes against the Revs.
Yeah, man. If you come out of May with like 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws,
yeah,
a loss somewhere in there, perfect, if it happens, that's fine.
Let's get 15.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. All right. Let's talk real quick. We have a Champions League semifinals going on, too, in Europe.
Who cares? Leagues stink.
You know what I will say? It's so refreshing to see the away goals thing not matter.
It is. And I didn't like it at the very beginning because I'm like, man, I kind of like the away goals. It just opens up the game so much.
No one's thinking about it. No one's like that would have totally been different yesterday.
Of course.
You go down if you have a that whole crew goal at the end of the half would not have wrecked Monterrey's thing.
Nor would they have changed their play style as dramatically, I don't think.
No, because they would have just said, all right, then great. Now we still need a goal and we're going to extra time. We don't need two. And so
I like it for Europe to do it. I like it in this instance that we have it, if that makes any sense at all.
I totally agree.
Okay.
Well, we know that the game was the game.
Yeah.
The rules were the rules.
Right.
So we planned accordingly. Everybody played the game the way they would. So Bayern plays Real Madrid to a 2-2 draw.
Really good game. Fun game.
Madrid scores first. And then Bayern
scores two right in a row. Musiala just, he's incredible to watch. Maybe the best player in Europe or the best player in the world with the ball at his feet.
Oh, he's incredible.
Watching him make runs, he's unbelievable. Harry gets the penalty, I think. So it's 2-1 at that point. Real come back with a goal. Vinny gets a penalty. He puts it in. So it's 2-2 heading back to the Bernabeu. For as good as that game was and like as many goals, the game yesterday, the PSG Dortmund game was way better.
Oh,
like, I know there's only one
goal
in that game, but it was, you want to talk about teams just sprinting back and forth for 60 minutes. Like, that was it. Like, it was up and it was down, and you had Jamie Carragher slamming beers in the yellow wall, hammered, like interviewing Jadon Sancho after the game. He's like, Jadon, I've been up in the yellow wall. Have you ever been up there? Look at this. It's amazing. Like, this place is incredible. Jadon Sancho's like, geez, man, calm down. But that was cool. So it's as good as you want for semifinals and the return legs, because everything to play for at the Bernabeu. And then Dortmund, who's like a pretty big underdog to PSG, again, knocking on the doorstep of blowing PSG's head off and failing again in what is going to be the Kylian Mbappe era before he joins Real Madrid.
It's right. Like, you could have the Kylian Mbappe final in the Champions League.
And then you could have the Robert Lewandowski final, in which he says, guys, I pulled up, I got an injury before this game, I'm not playing against Real Madrid. Like Robert Lewandowski did when they played.
Yeah.
When Dortmund played Bayern.
That's right.
Decade ago or whenever that was.
But you could have, you could have an all German European championship.
Yeah.
You could have that.
You could have Der Klassiker.
Yeah. For the whole continent.
Again, in the time in a few years.
Yes, but it's still incredible given that I thought like Dortmund was just dead.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think they had much of a chance in this tournament, and now they're sitting there with the lead. Obviously, they you would expect them to win at home. Now they got to go on the road.
But it would be it would be just so fitting of the experiment of spend every dollar, expend every resource. Let's go get Messi. Let's get Neymar. Let's get Zlatan. Let's get Kylian Mbappe. Let's get Cavani. Let's just go spend. Let's go crazy.
Right.
It would be so fitting for them to lose that game at home to Dortmund to like signify the end of this.
A golden era.
A golden era, golden decade for PSG.
And instead, they really come away with not much.
Yeah.
Like, so that, yeah.
I'm pulling for Dortmund.
I am too. Hey, I'm pulling for the black and gold.
Yeah.
Like, I had somebody tweet me that last night. They're like, you know, it's really easy to just, like, put yourself through the ringer twice if you root for the black and gold over in Germany, too, because that was on the same day. And I'm like, yeah, well, I do kind of root for them. Like, that's the team I would claim in Germany, but I don't watch a lot of German soccer. I wish I did.
You watched them in the Champions League, though.
Yeah, I did. Had the game on.
You don't turn on the Bundesliga a lot.
No. But I try to. I'm trying to be better about checking in on those leagues more often. Next year, that's going to happen.
And then on the other side, it's like, all right, well, over. Bayern, who have what, 6 European championships? Real Madrid have 7. Yeah. I mean, PSG and Dortmund have combined for 1 European championship. And that was Dortmund. Dortmund has the trophy.
Yeah, not PSG.
PSG does not.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, it's 14-6. It's like, whoa. That's a stark contrast.
Wait, if Real Madrid and Dortmund reach the final, though, I'm going to be so conflicted as a lifelong Real Madrid and Dortmund fan. This is going to be really – I'm going to get a Laura Quinn split jersey with A.J. Hawk and Brady Quinn. Neighbor Eric knows what I'm talking about. It's his favorite reference. He gets it all the time.
He absolutely does.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. I forget. Do we know when the return legs of these are?
Next week, I think.
Oh, next week. All right. So then – and then we get the final in June 1st. Could be a big day.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's the final, buddy.
Whoa. Hopefully it's...
Could you imagine if it's black and gold in both of those finals?
After 3 o'clock Champions League, like 8 o'clock Champions Cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, that might be a full day at the bar. That might be that might be when the bar opens.
I'm going to have to call off July 2nd.
June.
I'm going to have to call off June 2nd.
You can call off July 2nd. I don't know what that would do for you.
And June 2nd's a Sunday, but I might have to call off.
You know what? I may have to call off June 3rd.
Yeah.
The Monday after. Might be, is that Memorial?
That's the start of Memorial.
Probably Memorial week.
Yeah.
You going to play in that Pro-Am?
Don't know.
I think you are. I think you're going to be drunk. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a good time.
Me and Peyton Manning. I have a higher chance of caddying for him than that playing.
Last thing, because I was just thinking in my head, like, I could see Peyton Manning rolling up like, oh, hey, how's it going, buddy? How about that Columbus crew? I heard they did pretty good.
But then
it got me thinking about FIFA, the World Cup FIFA account, the actual FIFA World Cup account, tweeted out, well, it's these two for the, you know, to see who gets to play in the Club World Cup next year, and it was Pachuca and the crew. And it's like, the idea that someone is sitting in Great Britain, because this was like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I saw it.
It's like 5 hours ahead of time. It's like someone's eating their breakfast going like, oh, that's a Columbus crew there, isn't it? Like, that's just, they might remember it from, oh, that's that Save the Crew team
that's
we were
a cool
talking
story.
About. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, hey, they might win their continent. That's amazing.
Like their door's blown off by Liverpool next year. That would be cool to see.
Hey, you know what? What an honor.
I agree.
Can I tell you? I would enjoy just getting reamed by any of these teams. Honestly,
by the way,
I don't care.
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer on this either, but if you win the Champions Cup, your roster is going to look immensely different next year.
Well, you know why? Because you're going to get $50 million. So, I mean, now you're in play for all these dudes. Dude, all right. So, Aiden Morris is going to get a double-digit transfer fee.
Yep.
Schulte's going to get probably a $10 million transfer fee.
Wilf's going to be the new coach of Manchester United.
Cucho's going to – well, they're going to have to pay for him.
Right.
So you're going to get that money.
It's like 100 mil.
Cucho's going to get like $25, $30 million to transfer back to wherever, you know, they want to bring him. So
could bring in Luka Modric for that price.
Oh,
and Toni Kroos.
They're done, baby. They need something to do. Let's go. Luka, this is your spot.
And Marco Reus.
You know what?
Bring them all in.
They've always said Columbus is the Croatia of the United States. That's what I've always said. I've always felt that way. Let's go. Let's bring him in.
We both have really good soil.
Yeah.
And orange wines.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. We're here. Let's go. All right. That's it for us. We're getting loopy. Thanks again for listening. Beam's got to go get some nappy naps. Thanks for listening. Go Crew. We'll see you next time.